GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Last week, when we welcomed Dr. Meryl Nass of Ellsworth on our program with some Q&A about her concerns about the C-19 vaccines, listeners were sending a whole bunch of questions. We didn't get to all of them, but George, she said she could make some time to call back in for some more Q&A this morning. She's on line three now for GHRT.
Well, good morning, Dr. Nass. Nice to have you back on the program again.
Hi again.
One of our listeners sent us a question, wanted to know what your thoughts were on natural immunity to either the Alpha, Beta, the Delta variant, or Delta Plus that we're hearing about now.
Okay, so everybody who's gone to medical school learned that natural immunity is superior to vaccine-induced immunity. And most people know that too. You know that if you've gotten mumps or measles once, you never get it again. On the other hand, if you've taken a measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, you need two or three doses, and the protection wanes over time. And that is one of the best, strongest vaccines we have, because it's made of attenuated strains of the virus. So you're not just becoming immune to one protein in that vaccine, but multiple. In the case of the C-19 vaccines, you've got one protein. We're calling them vaccines for lack of a better word. Technically, they're gene therapy products. You've got one protein. That's it that gets made. The rest of the genome, the other proteins that are produced, are not part of this process, and you do not create any immune cells or antibodies to the rest of the virus. So it makes sense that over time, vaccine-induced immunity is going to be faced with what are called viral escapes. They have mutated sufficiently that they are less and less susceptible to the limited amount of protection that the vaccine has given you. Remember that the vaccines so far have not been adjusted at all. We were told the mRNA was being used because it could be quickly changed to model newer strains, but that hasn't happened. All of the vaccines so far are identical. What was funny was that public health professionals were telling us at the beginning of this that the immunity from COVID, getting COVID, was considered weak and was not going to be nearly as strong as vaccine-induced protection. Now, that came out of nowhere. I mean, somebody created that as a means for pushing the vaccine. That's never been the case. In fact, for SARS-1, which occurred in 2002-2003, there's evidence that people who had that infection maintain immunity now, 17 years later. So it's unclear why that story was floated. It is true that if you get a cold from coronavirus, you don't seem to get long-lasting immunity. But if you get this coronavirus and all you experience is something like a cold, the immunity so far seems to be quite long-lasting and much stronger than from the vaccine. So that in most studies, in everybody's study that I know of, except for the CDC's study, and they create studies to show whatever they want, The immunity is far stronger from natural infections.
Well, you know, this is a very difficult subject for laymen to get into because it gets highly technical. It is very technical. What about people who have not had COVID, who sent and over 414 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines have been administered? Isn't that the smart thing to do if you haven't picked up COVID, you don't have natural immunity, go get the vaccine and protect yourself?
Okay, so I have not, well, I may have had COVID, I don't know. You know, the government is not allowing us to use antibody tests or T-cell tests to figure out whether we're immune because it wants everybody to get the vaccine. But, you know, I had a bad flu at the beginning of 2020 after going through 4 airports. I may have had it, I don't know. I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't want to vaccinate if I am immune. And if I'm not immune, I have ivermectin, and I can obtain hydroxychloroquine and doxycycline. I'm taking appropriate supplements, and I anticipate that my disease will not be severe. I mean, it might be severe, but it certainly, it won't kill me and it won't put me in the hospital, because not a single one of my patients that I've treated has wound up in the hospital. And I'll get over it, and then I will have lifelong immunity. That's what I anticipate.
Hmm. A listener wants to know what your thoughts are on boosters for 5 to 11-year-olds, or even offering the vaccine, the shot, to children.
Well, the FDA met to... The FDA Advisory Committee met yesterday to decide whether to advise FDA to offer the shot to 5 to 11-year-olds. And after spending a day hearing how little data we had on the subject and how dangerous myocarditis could be, they ignored the possibility that there were any other side effects and decided that there were some children who, because of pre-existing conditions, were at high risk and ought to be able to get the shot, and therefore they should make it, they should encourage FDA to authorize it and make it available to everybody. Now, that was a bit of a punt, because we know in the District of Columbia there's a bill to require the vaccine for all students, and in California, Gavin Newsom has already said that as soon as eligible, he's going to require it for our students to attend school in person. So in California right now, if you're 16 or 17 years old and not vaccinated, you will not be allowed to attend school in person come January.
Everybody worries about side effects from vaccines. And those in my age group, for each, we've been vaccinated from the time, as long as I can remember. I guess I started with the polio vaccine and then gone through the years. When I was in the military, I was in the medics, and we gave up to 17 different vaccines to the people who were going overseas. I personally never saw many side effects other than some swelling, some fever, headaches, maybe a little sore muscle. What do you fear about side effects in the COVID vaccines of the three?
So in the old days, now when I was, I'm not as, quite as old as you, but I'm old. We got just a few vaccines and they were tried and true. And generally they didn't cause too many problems. The smallpox vaccine I received as an infant was said to kill 1 in a million babies at that time. It's no longer used except in certain soldiers. In recent years, the vaccines did not make a lot of money in the old days. They were sold, you know, for a dollar, a few dollars each, and there weren't so many. But now one dose of vaccine can sell for over $200, and they have become a huge money maker for industry, and therefore vaccines are being rushed out. And because there is no, once they're put on the childhood schedule, there is no liability, or if they are maintained in this emergency use authorization status, there's no liability for the manufacturer. They become, you know, the business model is very good. They can, if they can convince a government to take them, and in this case, because it's still an experimental product, they have to sell to governments. They can't sell to people. It's not marketable to individuals yet. So many vaccines have been rolled out, and these warp speed vaccines were rolled out very quickly. The amount of testing that was done is really a shame. It's worse than a shame. It's a scandal. So, for example, yesterday I watched the entire FDA meeting, and we learned that the buffer and some of the constituents in the vaccine were changed to make it more stable. So now they don't need the special fridges. You can just have it in your doctor's office, and the vaccine will stay in good shape, they said, for 10 weeks. So one of the members of the committee said, okay, did you test that new vaccine, newly composed vaccine, in your clinical trials? And Pfizer said, no, we didn't. So now they've created a new version of the vaccine. It's never been tested, and they're going to roll it out to 28 million kids aged 5 to 11 who will all be guinea pigs at the same time. That's not how you do science. You're supposed to test these things in a small number of people, show they're safe, show they work, test them in a bigger number, and then eventually when you feel very confident, you roll it out to the whole population. You don't make the entire population your guinea pig.
Dr. Nass, what you're sharing with us is not what we've heard from Maine CDC Director Dr. Nirav Shah. It's not what we've heard from physicians from Maine General or St. Joe's or Northern Light. Why are, and when we had to try to find someone who had an alternate view to what the C-19 vaccines, gene therapy, whatever you want to call them, it was difficult to find someone. Why are there so few like you raising concerns about these shots?
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people like myself. Here's the thing. As a physician, you don't make money from becoming an expert on vaccines, right? All you do is you get to give them to people, and you get $20 a dose to administer a vaccine. Unless you're doing vaccine clinical trials, that's where the money is. And everybody who's working for industry doing a trial feels, you know, is in favor of vaccines under almost all circumstances, as we saw yesterday, because most of the members of those committees were you know, worked for pharma, kind of as part of their academic work. Now, so if you want to know whether what I'm telling you is accurate, I wrote an affidavit for this recent hospital worker, healthcare workers case in Maine, and my affidavit is posted on my website, anthraxvaccine.blogspot.com, and you can see how I disputed Dr. Nirav Shah, and I have footnotes for everything. You know, there's over 30 footnotes. Yesterday, I worked with the president of Children's Health Defense, Mary Holland, and Bobby Kennedy, the son of Robert F. Kennedy. And we submitted a 13-page letter to the FDA and to this committee, again, completely documented, loads of footnotes. And that is on the Children's Health Defense website, and it's linked on my website. And you can read that everything I'm saying has documentation. Unlike Nirav Shah, who also produced an affidavit for that case, did not produce a single footnote or a single reference to anything he was saying. Everything I'm telling you has been backed up by the medical literature. You know, I don't think I need to apologize for being an expert. I happen to be an expert. I have over the years, I became an expert in this, and few people have, because it didn't make me any money. So other people stay away from it. But all I can tell, you know, I've been asked to testify before 6 different congressional committees. I've testified on these issues in England. You know, I've talked around the world. This weekend, I'm going up to Alaska and meeting with politicians, doctors, and lawyers in Alaska to discuss this issue. I was in Switzerland 2 weeks ago. People think that what I have to say is valuable and that I speak with knowledge.
Well, Doctor, we appreciate you coming on. Not challenging you at all. I'm sure of your background. In fact, I've looked it up. I would just ask one question. 909,000 people in Maine, in the state of Maine, are fully vaccinated now. Do you think it was a mistake for them to do that?
No, I think everybody has the right to make their own decision. What the government does not have the right to do, or the media, is to give them false information. And unfortunately, that's what we've been subjected to for the last 10 months.
Dr. Merrill Nass of Ellsworth, thank you for joining us this morning. We're back. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show on VOM. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.